My name is Luke Rosenberger. I'm the pastor here. Thankful that we can be together worshiping the name of Jesus. And today, just after thinking about what is coming after Easter, and you know, we celebrated Easter last week. We celebrated the risen Savior, Jesus, who loved us so much that he came and died for us. And he paid the price. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. And sometimes I think we kind of just start thinking that the gospel message just kind of gets normalized. It kind of just gets like to the point where it's like, yeah, I know. And I've had that in my life too before where I think, you know, yeah, I know Jesus died. I know Jesus loves me. And I know Jesus rose from the dead. But kind of like, okay, I've heard that before. But no, well, we need to hear that every day. We need to hear that all the time because there is so much life, life-giving in the message that God gives. And sometimes I think we just have to stop. I think we just have to stop and really let that sink in, really let the gospel message come to us and understand it. Let the gospel message and who Jesus is really influence us. And I know the word stop is not a nice word. You know, I don't even like in our house when I hear kids saying, stop, stop, stop. It's like, we say please stop. You know, like, let's be a little nicer about the stop. But, you know, I know we all, when we're driving, we don't love that word. To see that word stop. I mean, who loves driving down a road that they haven't been on before, and then all of a sudden they see this octagon, red octagon, and it says stop. I mean, is anybody like excited to see that sign? Really, raise your hand. Are you excited to see the stop sign? Okay, we have one. A two, okay. Not too many of us are excited when we see the stop sign because we don't like to stop. Usually, we don't like to stop. And stopping, what stopping does is it requires us to slow down. It requires us to do something that we don't necessarily want to do. We want to keep going. We want to keep going ahead. Wherever we are, usually we're kind of maybe in a hurry or we're just not wanting to waste an extra few seconds to stop. But stop signs are designed to save lives. Do you ever think about that? Usually I don't think about that. When I see a stop sign, I'm like, oh, a stop sign. In fact, Google Maps, they now show on your route, they show like how many stop signs there are, like when you're driving, and it's like, oh, we can avoid stop signs. Let's go avoiding stop signs. But stop signs actually save your life. They save lives. And we've all heard stories, even local in the last few years, of people that miss a stop sign, and someone dies from it. Someone in a car accident, and it's terrible. And it's like all you had to do was stop. Why didn't you do that? Well, we don't like to stop. In the Bible, God commanded the Israelites, the people in the Old Testament, all the Jews, he commanded them to take one day, to stop working one day. And this idea was not something that was maybe, it was not something that people necessarily wanted to do, to stop. You know, we don't like to stop. So we're going to find out in Exodus 20 today about this idea of stopping. Exodus 20, if you would go there with me, it is, as you might have guessed, there's a list of 10 things. We call those the Ten Commands, or the Ten Commandments. And it's right near the middle of the Ten Commandments that we're going to hear about stopping. Okay, it's the fourth command. And I'm not going to quiz you on what all 10 are right now. But all ten commandments were designed by God to, as this nation of Israel was starting. They were designed by God to let the people know what was important. And what his nation was going to be all about. And we can get into all the rest of them later. But there's only two of the 10 commands that are given in a positive phrasing. And the first one is this in verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. We're going to pause right in the middle of verse 10 right there. And think about this, because keeping the Sabbath, it doesn't sound very good to work and then stop. Because when someone is accomplishing things, you want to keep going. When we are productive at something, we don't want to just be forced to stop. But this word here, in the Old Testament, the word is used is Shabbat. Can we say that together? Shabbat? Okay, Shabbat. There we go. And there's some different meanings of this word Shabbat, but one of the meanings, it comes from this other Hebrew word that is Shavath. And Shavath is this idea, the word means to cease or to stop. And so the first part of what this word Shabbat, this word Sabbath means, it comes from this idea of stopping. Now that sounds, maybe it doesn't sound very good, because keeping the Sabbath actually is, the stopping seems counterintuitive. It seems like, hey, I know how to be productive. I know what I need to do. I know how to keep track of my own work and my own body. I don't need to be told what I should do. It seems counterintuitive. It seems like, well, God, why are you telling me that I have to stop? If I'm being productive, if I'm doing things that aren't bothering other people, that's actually being helpful, working hard, isn't that good? To be providing for our families, working hard, accomplishing things. That seems like it should be okay to keep doing that as much as you want, as long as you're not hurting other people and not doing bad things, right? It seems counterintuitive. It seems kind of like backwards. Like, well, why do we have to do that? But God, He set this up. Now keep in mind, this is a rule. These are the Ten Commands. He isn't saying this is a suggestion. He's saying, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This word holy means set apart. This word holy is this idea that there is, by ourselves, we need to be set apart. God is holy. God is completely unique. God is set apart, and we worship God for being holy. But He also wants us, His people, to keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, you might be saying, hey, wait, this is to the Old Testament. This is to the Israelites. This is to the nation of Israel. This isn't to me. And with that, I say, you're right. It's not exactly to you, but it is wisdom from the Bible. It is truth from the Bible. It shows a lot of what God is showing the people when He set up this nation of Israel. He set them up to be a nation that was set apart, a nation that was to be holy, a nation that was going to show the other nations who He is. And so we might say, well, it's something that's more for them. And we're going to find out a little bit more what Jesus said about Sabbath later. But keeping the Sabbath, it seems counterintuitive. It seems like it's not something that makes a lot of sense in our minds. And verse 10 goes on. It says this in Exodus 20, verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreign residing in your towns. Verse 10 is very clear about keeping the Sabbath is for everyone. Interestingly enough, I'll just note, including animals. Even animals need rest. Even animals need to take a day off. Now, they're not the ones that are going to do that. It's the people that are not going to work the animals those days. But keeping the Sabbath is not just counterintuitive, it's also countercultural. What other places tell you, you have to stop working? It's a countercultural thing, because our culture surely doesn't say that. I mean, yeah, we like the weekends. But there's also this kind of this idea that if you work really hard, and you work and you make a lot of money, and you spend a lot of time on what you're doing, and you work harder and harder and harder, that's good. But I want to say what Kenny said earlier, is that life-giving? Is that really good? Because, yes, you might be earning a lot of money, you might be doing a lot of having a lot of production or doing things, but it's our culture praises that. They say, go for it. Work your hardest, do your best. I mean, those are all good things. But what our culture usually doesn't say is rest. But what our God says is rest. Our God says, take a day and set it aside. Don't do any work that day. He said, not just you, but also your family, the people that work with you, everybody, even other foreigners that live in your towns, even they don't understand about what God's commands are, but they're gonna recognize that their culture is so different than other cultures. And their culture was set up to be a light to the nations, to be a light to the Gentiles. God's plan for the people of Israel was that people would see, all the nations around Israel would see, wow, God is doing something, something is happening in this nation. They're doing everything so differently, but yet there's such a blessing that's coming to them. What is it? And when they really start understanding, they're going to see that they have this God that's powerful, that's loving, that's to be praised and worshipped, and he sets aside one day for the Israelites to stop working and to rest. And so, keeping the Sabbath seems countercultural, but also, we're going to keep reading this last part here. In verse 11, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. This verse right here, this verse 11, is really key. Because when we read Genesis 1, we read all about how God made everything. And he made it so, so good, so, so life-giving, right? He made it good, and he looked back even on the sixth day, and he made Adam, he made humans, and right there he said, it is very good. The only time he says very instead of just good. It's very life-giving. But yet, when you turn to Genesis chapter 2, this really the second page of the Bible, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had created that he had done. Now notice in Genesis 2, it doesn't say that God needed to rest. God doesn't need to rest. In fact, God doesn't need anything. But he set this up. He set up this seventh day, this Sabbath day. He set it up for us. He set it up because he knows what we need. And even though we can see or we can think that keeping the Sabbath isn't counterproductive, it's just, or we think it's counterproductive. We think it's, you know, we can't keep getting more and more things done if we take a break. You know? If you're always taking breaks every week, how are you supposed to get things done? But research actually shows that we as humans need our rest. And by the way, we're not getting enough of it. And you don't need me to tell you that. You probably know that yourself. But I know that when I don't rest enough, I'm going to be more in trouble the next few days. If I don't sleep well, and that's a whole different story, but the idea here is stopping is not counterproductive. Because keeping the Sabbath, what God knows is that humans have limits. And humans can't just keep going and going and going. And us humans, He cares so much about. God so loved the world. We sang about this a few minutes ago. And God so loved the world that He sent His Son to die for us. And God so loved the world that He knows us best. And one of the things that He knows about us is that we are going to keep going until we pop. We're going to just keep going, and unless He tells us, hey, stop. You need to stop. I mean, I went to the dentist week and a half ago, and they told me at the dentist, I got some crowns, and they told me I got temporary crowns, and they told me that for the next month, you need to make sure that you're not using those on this side. Don't crunch or don't chew with the right side of your mouth. And I was like, wait, what? For the whole month? I have to just like eat on this side? How am I supposed to do that? Well, they said, you'll want to do that. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to try to remember to not eat crunchy things. And if I am, I'm just eat on the left side here. Well, there's been a few times that I've forgotten. And I quickly remember. Because there's some pain that tells me that hurts. That pain that tells me the dentist was right. And I don't try to say the dentist is right all the time, but I'm sure the dentist is right most of the time. We don't like to listen to the dentist. We don't like to listen to the doctor. We don't like to listen to people that supposedly know what they're talking about. Because we know what's good for us. I know what's good for me. Surely I'll be okay if I just use my teeth the normal way. Well, the pain will tell you. And it will remind you. And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to take a break on eating this. But we have to, if we want to listen to not just the dentist, now I know we don't want to listen to the dentist, but if we want to listen to the God who made us, that knows us, then we have to stop. And we have to do what He says. We have to start practicing Sabbath rest by stopping what we're doing. Stopping is the way to start Sabbath rest. And that sounds strange. To stop in order to start this kind of rest. But we have to stop our work sometime. And I know we like to be productive. And I know we can say, well, this is all, you know, this is all for the Old Testament. This is all, you know, I actually want to be careful. I'm not trying to say the Old Testament, throw it out or anything like that. Because the Old Testament shows us who God is. And it's the God that we know from, this is Jesus' Bible. This is what Jesus followed. And so the Old Testament and the New Testament work together perfectly because it's God's Word. And I know the Ten Commandments, they were written to a nation. And we're not part of that nation, but you know what nation we are part of? And don't say the actual nation. What we're part of, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is you are part of God's kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. And I know most of us are citizens of this country, and I'm not saying anything about that. What I'm saying is, more importantly, we are citizens of heaven. We are people of God. If you've chosen to accept Jesus' forgiveness for your sins, and you're walking with Jesus, you are a child of God. You are part of the kingdom of God. And when you are a part of the kingdom of God, we want to do what the King says. And we want to do what the designer, the Lord of creation, designed us to do. And this idea of, you know, why can't I do what I want to do? That's a human question. That's a normal question. Can't I just do it? Can I just like do what I want? Well, the answer is yes, you can. But you might learn the hard way. And maybe you have learned the hard way. That sometime your body's just going to stop. I'm not saying death. It could be. But there was a few years ago that I was like doing all this stuff. I was running from Menlo Haven. I was working the camp there for the junior high. And then, I had regen the same summer. And it was like back to back. And I came back here and I was doing everything like normal. And then all of a sudden, Angie couldn't find me. And I was on the floor. And I couldn't get up. And it's not because I didn't want to get up or because I was too tired. My body just couldn't get up. And she called Kenny, and Kenny rushed me to the ER. And I told him in the car, I was like, I just don't like feeling weak. I don't like feeling like this. This is, like, I can do it. But we can't do it. We can try to do it. And we can try to keep going. And we can try to keep working hard and not stopping. But eventually, something's going to happen where your body's going to say, sorry. It's not going to keep working like this. You can't keep working. And I thought, hey, I can do it. And maybe some of you think that too. I can do it. So why do we have to stop and rest? The answer is you don't have to. But what is best for you? God knows what's best for you. And God made you. And he knows that what's best for you is to rest. He knows what's best for you is to stop all of the other things, to rest and to worship him on the Sabbath. Now, there's some questions like, well, what about is Sabbath? Does that mean Saturday? Does that mean Friday night to Saturday night? Does that mean Sunday? What does Sabbath mean? Well, in the Old Testament, Sabbath was practiced on Friday night from sundown till Saturday night till sundown. It was a 24-hour period. And what happened was in the New Testament, when we had Jesus rise from the dead, when we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we realized the Lord's day is Sunday. And so that's why we worship on Sunday. And that's why we worship on Sunday morning, because on Sunday morning is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And we celebrate Jesus is alive. And we celebrate that Jesus defeated death. And Jesus wants us to have life. And so, yeah, that's our tradition. We celebrate Sundays. But I think the whole point is, it's not about which day of the week you stop, but it is that you do stop. If you can't stop for Sunday, I don't want to say like, well, you can't do anything on Sundays. I think what you need to do is between you and God. When is the time that you are going to stop, that you're going to put away your phone, that you're going to stop being distracted by all the things of the world? And where is the time that you're going to set aside to just be? And be, instead of a human doing, a human being, someone that just bees, someone that just is, and connects with the Lord. And we heard about this morning, this Monday morning faith, this faith that we can have every single day, not just on the Sundays. Because if we just worship God once a week, if we are just coming before Jesus once a week, it's not that it's not enough, it's just it's not going to work. And so God wants you to set aside a whole day to rest, to do something that's life-giving, to worship him, to just sit and be. So can you do work on Sundays? Well, that's between you and God. You can talk to me about it. I'd love to have a conversation with you. But what would it take this week for you to set aside a period of time to just stop, just be? I want you to think about that just for a moment before we pray. When is it that you usually stop? When is it that you usually be? When is it that you usually connect with the Lord on maybe a longer basis and have more dedicated time? And if you don't have that time, I want you just to think about, when could that be? And is that important to me? And do I believe what God says is good? So let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who created us. That you're the God that knows us intimately and profoundly. You know every part of us. Lord, I thank you that you want what's best for us. And you know what's best for us is you. And Lord, I know that sometimes we don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. And so, Lord, we just confess that. We confess that sometimes we want to do what we want and not what you say. Lord, we pray that we would be people, if we trust you with our heart, God, we just pray that you would show us this week how we can set aside time